Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life. Everyone, welcome to America Meditating Radio. That was Paul Leftenegger from Toronto, Canada, on his album Faith. The track was called Prayer. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. It always gives me a delight, a privilege, an honor to have you join us on the air to discuss things about life that are really needed. I accidentally went onto my Twitter handle right before coming on air and just... Why did I do that? I just saw something that was quite disheartening. Another police officer tased a young African-American guy for a traffic stop. But what got to me is that there were two other African-American cops standing there and didn't stop their other fellow officers who are in Caucasian bodies to do something. So what do you do? What do you do when you look at scenes like that, that you're just getting a snippet, you're getting 30 seconds, 45 seconds, maybe a minute of an event that perhaps had a whole other bigger story to it, but the media, social media, and folks just have a way of hitting you right where it touches your emotions and your subconscious. And if we keep seeing these images over and over again, it eventually will make us numb, or it'll make us become like what we watch. And then it makes our lives more confusing, and we feel that we're in a bondage. We feel trapped. We feel anxious. There's a sense of a separation between our highest selves and our true self. We don't feel that God's even existing. You know, there's a saying, especially in many ancient cultures, God is omnipresent, and lots of people have been, you know, reaching out to me and sharing, if he was, why is this happening? Why would this take place? And I think it's because the recording, the presence, the memory, the deepest subconscious vibrations of God's virtues and divinities have been replaced by the acronym that I use, ALGY, A for anger, L for lust, G for greed, A for attachment, and E for ego. And because that consciousness is a higher vibrational recording, you're seeing what you're seeing today in the media, in the press. The press is on the siege. Nobody knows what's right, what's wrong. The stress must be overwhelming. I mean, I just saw that just 10 minutes before coming into the studio, and I knew I should not have done that. But it's like pops up right there. And yes, I have a choice. I'm not going to see it, but I did. Anyway, on another note, I think we just must keep reminding ourselves we have the power to choose freedom or bondage. What gives my spirit freedom? What keeps it trapped in a bondage? Do I want to be free, but do I want to be tied down? How do I even understand what's tying me down if the impressions and the feelings are so deep? Well, stay tuned, because we're about to talk to Grace Smith, who is a certified master hypnotherapist. I wonder if she can put me under hypnosis today. I doubt it. I'm going to be too uncomfortable. But don't touch that dial, because Grace and I are going to be talking about the space of hypnosis and how we can find our freedom in it. Before I get Grace on, here is Chief Joseph Marshall. Remember the way.
When I was a boy, my maternal grandfather and I would go for walks along the Little White River on our northern part of the reservation. We walked all over. We walked along the river, over the hills, across the meadows, the prairies, wherever. And this occurred over a few years, in any season of the year. He just liked to walk. He liked the physical activity to walk, and he liked to look at the land. He liked to point things out to me. And I paid attention. But there was something that he did. We would stop every now and then. And he did this frequently. We would stop and he would grab me by the shoulders and he would turn me around and he would make me look at the trail the way we had come to this point. And he would say, remember that trail. Remember the way we came. And I dutifully said, yes, Grandpa. He did this a lot. Finally, when I was 7, the year before I went away to school, I worked up the nerve to ask him, well, Grandpa, why are you saying this? Why are you making me look back? And his answer was simple enough, and it fell into place for me years later. He said, one of these times I'm going to send you back down these trails by yourself. And if you don't remember the way, you will be lost. To me, that is a statement about our past, that big quantifiable past that is there, that is larger than anything in our lives. If we don't know how we got to the point that we are as individuals and as a society, but especially as individuals, then we're lost, because we don't know where we came from. It's not the flamboyant warrior with the feathers in his hair and lance in his hand, which is an iconic image that everybody has of Native people. No, that's not what we were about. That's only part of what we were, only a small part of what we were as people. The other part is compassion and having a purpose and taking care of each other. Those were the most important things. So that's why ancestry is important to me. That's why ancestry should be important to everybody, no matter who we are, whether we're Native or not, no matter what our culture is, no matter what our society is, no matter what our standing in the community is. I don't care what we do for a living. Ancestry is important. You have to know the trail that you came down to be at the point that you are as an individual. You have to look back at that trail, the road that you have walked with your ancestors, their values, the kind of people they were, the kind of mistakes they made, the kind of accomplishments they had. They're all a part of me. All of that is part of who I am.
Welcome back. That was Chief Joseph Marshall for Remember the Way on the Monique Rhodes Heartbeat album. You've tuned into America Meditating Radio, and I'm your host, Sister Jenna. Gives us great privilege to welcome our next guest. Grace Smith is a certified master hypnotherapist and hypnotherapy instructor with the International Association of Counselors and Therapists. Her new book is entitled Close Your Eyes, Get Free, Use Self-Hypnosis to Reduce Stress, Quit Bad Habits, and Achieve Greater Relaxation and Focus. Now, Grace is also the founder of Grace Space Hypnosis, the world's foremost online library of full-length hypnotherapy programs, and Grace Space Hypnotherapy School, an academy that is leading the way in raising standards of hypnotherapy, education, and certification. Her work has been featured in The Atlantic, Marie Claire, Bustle, Glamour, and many more. Today we welcome Grace Smith to the air. Hi, Grace.
Hi, thank you so much for having me, Sister Jenna. It's such a privilege to be here.
I'm so glad that you could find the time. I was a little bit naughty before you came on. I was like, oh my gosh, I hope I don't get hypnotized by Grace. I don't know what's going to come out of me.
Oh, believe me. After our conversation, I'm sure you'll be hoping that we will. It's so very different from how it's perceived in the media.
You know, isn't that something? Stereotypes are a killer, you know. The more I learn and expose myself to narratives that I once thought was just a particular way, the more I'm appreciating the wealth of our humanity. So let's talk about you. You left corporate America and you came into full-time hypnotherapy. What was going on with you, Grace? What made you make such a huge transition?
Early on in my career, it was the largest recession that the Western world had seen in many years. It was 2008. And my first career outside of college was actually in large-scale fundraising. So raising hundreds of millions of dollars to build hospital wings for cancer research institutions, these very beautiful, lofty goals and ideas in theory, but ultimately everyone was losing their jobs, losing their pensions, losing their retirement funds. And so fundraising at that time was just not going well, as you can imagine. So everyone on our team was experiencing levels of stress and anxiety that we never had before, and I was no exception. And at that time, I had no healthy coping mechanisms. I didn't know what to do with chronic anxiety, with the fear every day waking up that my job was on the chopping block and that I wouldn't find another one because of the recession. And so I turned to drugs and alcohol at that time. And because I was in my early 20s, and that is just unfortunately a big part of youth culture in many parts of the world is partying, I didn't really realize I specifically had an issue. It just seemed like this is what everyone was doing. But I was very lucky, and I mean that with my whole heart, that it got out of control very fast. And I was lucky enough by the age of 24 to get sober. And because I went through that experience, I was humbled. I realized I don't have all the answers. I can't figure this all out, you know, by myself. I need to sometimes ask for help. And 6 months into my sobriety, I was still chain smoking cigarettes. To me, that was the lesser of the evils at that point. But 6 months into my sobriety, I said, I don't need these cigarettes anymore. I'm really liking who I'm becoming. And I couldn't quit. I tried cold turkey, the patches, the gum, and I couldn't quit. And it felt so disempowering to continue to do this thing that I so very much wanted to release. And someone suggested hypnosis. And I promise you, if I hadn't just gone through this process of being so humbled, I would never have tried it. I would have said, oh, that mind control, clucking like a chicken, swinging watches, nonsense. Are you kidding me? Of course not. But I, at that point, was, you know, in a state where I said, what do I have to lose? And I went, and in one session, I quit smoking completely. And what I found was that it was so relaxing, calming, empowering, the very opposite of what I had expected, and most importantly, effective, that my response to it that day wasn't, oh, I'm glad that worked, let me go on with my life. It was, this feels like a human rights issue. Why does anybody have lung cancer? Why does anybody have emphysema? Why is anybody having these disempowering days, weeks, months, years of doing something they don't want to do? What is this thing? What is the subconscious? And that started me on my journey.
It's interesting that sometimes through some of our challenging moments is when we dive deeper. It's as if wherever there's the dark, there's also the light glooming and really kind of nudging at us to get our attention, which I think is really, really powerful. Well, let's talk a little bit about hypnotherapy. As we mentioned earlier, there are misconceptions. I think for me, it's more like, how deep do I need to go? Because I feel like how I am and whatever I am now is a sum total of everything that I've been through. And so if I'm paying attention, I'm able to identify areas within my own being that I just don't need to serve that anymore. Mark you, that's easier said than done, because it is a process and it's a journey. So there are misconceptions about hypnotherapy, but you've referred to it more as a meditation with a goal. Could you expand on that?
Absolutely. So what I have found in now having worked with thousands of private sessions, private clients who've transformed their life, is that the way hypnosis is portrayed in the media lends it to being the last thing people typically try, that they've tried everything else, it hasn't worked, they're still suffering in some area of their lives, and then they say, sort of like I did, well, what do I have to lose? One more thing that probably won't work. And then, of course, lo and behold, hypnosis is the thing that does work. And here's why. There was a study that found that 600 sessions of psychotherapy result in 33% improvement on average, and that 6 sessions of hypnotherapy result in 93% improvement on average. The reason being that most people on the planet, and certainly you might be the anomaly, Sister Jenna, I wouldn't put that past you because of the amazing work that you do, but most people on the planet are operating from a state of chronic stress, and it's only getting worse. And when we're operating from a state of chronic stress, the body is essentially on lockdown. It's in survival mode. And when we're in survival mode, there is no surplus energy remaining to create a new habit or belief in the brain. It takes tremendous energy to create a new neurological link in the brain. And between all of the stress, and to be perfectly honest, digestion, because most people are eating foods that aren't right for them and they're eating huge chunks of food and so much energy goes to digestion. So when we say, oh, I'm so tired of binge eating, I want to overcome this fear of flying, I'm so tired of getting nervous every time I need to speak in public at work, there's no energy left to create a new connection in the brain that believes something else. But in hypnosis, we access the theta brainwave state, the same state we access in deep meditation, which is why I call it meditation with a goal. And when we're in that deeply relaxed state, feeling safe, we have the surplus energy to create new neurological links in the brain very, very quick. And that's the difference between 600 sessions for 33% improvement at the conscious level versus 6 sessions of hypnotherapy for 93% improvement at the subconscious level. And I'm just tired of seeing people suffer needlessly. And that's truly what happens when we go to hypnosis last instead of first, because there's no one who can't be hypnotized. We go in and out of hypnosis all day long, actually. When we watch a movie, we're in hypnosis. We're deeply relaxed and highly focused on the story. But it's just a matter of conditioning. How many sessions does one personally need in order to transform? So it's not a matter of if it will work. It's just a matter of when. And my whole mission by making it mainstream is that people will get to that sooner rather than later.
I think we're open to the aid and assistance that we all need, because sometimes we just don't have the strength at that moment to be able to deal with ourselves. And there's nothing wrong with that, because I think every single one of us have been there, where the soul has just gone through enough and it just needs a little assistance. So if hypnotherapy can help me and to help our listeners to really just take this, it's meditation with a goal, it'll help. So I want to talk about your book, because I like the title, Close Your Eyes, Get Free. In the book, what is it that we can find that can help us practically on a day-to-day basis? And how come you came up with that specific title?
Absolutely. I'm so happy you like the title. It really just came to me in a flash, and I just got those knowing chills all over that this was it. And so it always makes me happy when I hear others resonate with the title. So I'll start by telling you just the backstory. I'll keep it nice and short as to how I came up with the title, and then I'll let you know exactly why I wrote it and what you can get from the book. So early on, when I got my certification for hypnosis, I wasn't yet ready to quit my corporate career. I'd been working really hard to climb up that ladder. I wasn't yet ready to give it all away and become this weird thing, this hypnotherapist that nobody understood. But I started using my skills to help my friends and family. I just said, I need to know more about what this is. From that moment that I quit smoking, then I used it to overcome a fear of public speaking myself. And then when I started helping friends and family and colleagues, all of a sudden they're losing the weight. They're not biting their nails. They're healing their relationships. But it was truly one experience that changed everything for me. And it was a man named Alexandre, and the book starts with his story. And he was a UN peacekeeping ambassador in Syria, one of the most dangerous, terrifying places in the world right now, one of those blue berets that you see on television. And one day, his UN convoy was crossing the city of Damascus, and his convoy was stopped unexpectedly at a blockade. And he looked outside his window, and the last thing he saw was a bazooka pointed straight at him. And in that moment, he blacked out. And he woke up 10 days later in a hospital in Lebanon to find that at the age of 46 years old, he had suffered a stress-induced stroke and was now completely paralyzed on the left-hand side of his body. This warrior could not even move a finger. Yeah. So he was flown to New York City at the Rusk Institute 3 months later, and at that point he still was completely paralyzed, hadn't moved at all. And as you can imagine, he had sunk into a deep, deep depression. So I was asked, could I come in and help him with his depression? And to be perfectly honest, Sister Jenna, I said, I have no idea. I've been helping people with these issues, and they've been really
smoking and other little
man,
things.
Yeah, exactly.
This is huge.
But this man is broken. It's huge. I have no idea if it will help. So I walk into the hospital, and I can see Alexandre has the same feeling. He is absolutely not sure at all if this will help. He's just so broken. He can barely meet my gaze. And I just said, okay, Alexandre, this is going to be unlike any therapy that you've done thus far. You're going to close your eyes. I'll help you relax. We'll have a conversation, and we'll see if we can help. And we began the session, and halfway through, I got this thought in my mind that said, Grace, he's military. Be militant. And now, because hypnosis is like meditation, the last thing you'd ever think was to be militant. So I know that thought came from somewhere else, but I said, okay. And I got a little stronger with my voice, and I said, Alexandre, I want you to imagine you're flying in a helicopter over a city at night. And that's a map of your brain. As you're flying over the city at night, you can see where the lights are on, where there's electricity, and you can see where there's a blackout. Fly to where there's a blackout and let me know when you're there. And he did. And I said, when I count down from 3 to 1 and snap my fingers, there's going to be an explosion where that blackout once was. 3, 2, 1. And now that electricity travels down the left-hand side of your face, down your neck, down your shoulders, through your arm, through your hand, out your finger. And I hadn't even finished the word finger, and he was moving his finger. And his eyes shot open, and he looked at me, and he said, "What do I do now?" And I looked down, and I said, "Keep moving your finger." And we burst into tears, and he was crying. I was crying. His wife started crying. The doctors and nurses came in, and they started crying. And truly in that moment, something miraculous happened, because Alexandre went from believing he was paralyzed and being paralyzed to being free. And so that's where the book came from, Close Your Eyes, Get Free. And as I was walking home from Fifth Avenue, down Fifth Avenue that day, I called my boss. I put in my 2 weeks' notice. I said, whatever this thing is, the whole world needs to know about it, because it's not mind control. It's not clucking chickens. It's the most effective, powerful way to experience freedom. And when I set out to make hypnosis mainstream, I said, this can't just be for the elite. This can't just be for the people who can afford private sessions, even though private sessions are unbelievably powerful. This needs to be for people who can rub together $10, $15 for everyone and get a book and do this for themselves. And so that's why the book is self-hypnosis, so you can teach yourself to access the state. So no matter what your socioeconomic background is, you can learn to harness the power of the subconscious.
Well, thank you. Thank you for doing that. I think a lot of people will appreciate it. And in the book, you do mention 4 steps to mental freedom. Could you quickly share what those 4 steps are?
Absolutely. So the first step is taking responsibility for your actions. They're the most obvious. It's what we do in life. The next is taking responsibility for your thoughts, which is a little more subtle. But a lot of times we blame these things on others, and by taking responsibility, we claim power and ownership. The third step is to take responsibility for our subconscious programming, even more subtle, and this book teaches you how to do that. And most people will never learn in their whole lifetimes how to do this, but that's really how to access the mainframe of who we are, and this book teaches you that. And then step 4 is actually giving back. Because one of the most powerful ways to heal ourselves, stop thinking about ourselves so much, and to release this obsession with ourselves. And we do that most effectively by turning our gaze to others and seeing how we can be of service. And by completing these 4 steps, we truly do experience not only mental freedom, but personal freedom.
Wonderful. Now, you talk a little bit about root versus trunk versus limb issues. What's that about?
If you imagine a tree, our limb issues are the physical manifestation of a problem. They're the thing that we can see. They're the limbs stretching up into the sky. So a limb issue would be smoking. It would be binge eating. It would be snapping at your kids or loved one when it's actually the last thing you want to do. A trunk issue either exacerbates or lessens the limb, and that is stress and anxiety. As stress and anxiety go up, all of the limb issues get activated. They all get worse, don't they? When the stress and anxiety goes up, that's when we grab the potato chips instead of the kale chips. And yet when stress and anxiety go down, sometimes it feels like those limbs aren't even there. They've gone dormant. But truly, what's most important to heal are the root issues, the things we can't see, but are really the whole reason why these things grow in the first place. And that would be lack of self-love, lack of self-worth, lack of self-confidence. So when I work with a client personally, one-on-one, I never do less than 12 sessions. The reason being, I don't care if someone leaves my office and they've quit smoking if they still hate themselves, for example. To me, that's not a success. Because by chopping off a limb, if the root issue remains, another limb will just grow further down the line. And that's something I learned as a rookie hypnotherapist many years ago, was how do we define success? Is it by healing just the limb, or is it by getting to the root of the issue? And I found that with 12 sessions, we start to really heal the root. And that is when we have a complete overhaul in our life and in our meaning of what it means to be who we are in this world.
Wonderful. I love that. It helps us to kind of recognize particular states that we're going through on the inside when we kind of break it down simplistically, I think. We make our lives too complicated, and it really isn't, and I think it's the ego's role that keeps complicating something as simple as smile at your husband in the morning, stop complaining. You know, it's like the hardest thing to do is to do that when you're under that stress of something inside. Congratulations. You taught hypnotherapy for overcoming anxiety at United Nations headquarters in Denmark. What did that feel like?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was so beautiful. What we found is that in an organization like the United Nations that has such an important role in keeping peace and elevating the standards of what a nation needs to hold themselves to,
mm-hmm.
that there are such lofty goals that are wanting to be accomplished and yet so much bureaucracy getting in the way. And for that reason, the people who work at the United Nations can feel very disheartened and frustrated and a lot of stress and a lot of anxiety and a lot of, is it even worthwhile to try to move this initiative forward? Because I realize I'm going to hear no for potentially years before I get a breakthrough. And I loved working with them so very much because we need what they're doing in the world so very much. And yet a lot of times we don't realize the people who are making these changes happen are under chronic stress themselves. And so we had to use hypnosis to overcome these limiting beliefs of, is it even worthwhile? Am I even making a change? Is this making a difference? And to say, absolutely, it's making a difference. And you can't back down. And you must hold steady. And you must move forward. And so what we do is we take this stress, anxiety, and the no's that you will inevitably hear and turn it into water rolling down a duck's back. Like oil and water, the two can't mix. As those negative reactions come towards you, because they will, and that's fine. We can't change the other people with hypnosis. We can only change ourselves and our reactions to it, that we just take a deep breath. It rolls off our shoulders, and we say, great, there's still more work to be done. I'm going back to the drawing board. I won't break me. And having that kind of mentality is again, such freedom to be able to say, I will hold steadfast. And the results have been so profound, truly profound, the feedback we've had. And I hope I'll get to work with more offices throughout the world because the success has been so high.
I'd love to bring you to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Have you ever hypnotized someone without them knowing you're doing it? Or does the person have to give you permission?
It's a great question. You know, hypnosis is not a belief system. There's no faith required. It's just a scientifically proven fact that when you relax deeply, you are able to create new connections in the brain very fast. You become open to those suggestions. But you can't absorb suggestions that you don't want. So if someone said to me, I don't believe in hypnosis, but I really want to quit smoking, I would say, it doesn't matter at all. Close your eyes and let's get to it, because it's not a belief system. But if someone said to me, Grace, I totally believe in hypnosis. I love the work that you do. I know it would be good for me to quit smoking, but I love it. I'd say, it's not a belief system. It doesn't matter. I appreciate your kind words, but I don't want to waste your money or my time. Come back when you actually want to quit. So no, I've never hypnotized anyone without their knowing. And two, I don't need permission. I just need to know that the client actually wants the result. As long as they really, truly want the result, they're going to have the result no matter what, because there's no belief required. And every single person on the planet can be hypnotized, and they go in and out of that theta state all day long. And this is coming up more and more with addiction to video games and to cell phones. The World Health Organization just categorized addiction to video games in the same category as drug addiction. And now children are going to rehab for video game addiction. And I've had many parents come to me, and you know, there's also hypnotherapists who I've trained who work at Grace-Based Hypnosis who do amazing work as well. And they've had it where parents will come and say, I'll pay any amount of money. I need my son or my daughter to stop having this addiction. And we'll say, I'm sorry, it doesn't come down to the amount of money. It comes down to whether or not they truly want to quit. And if they've gotten to the point where they realize this is destroying their lives and they want to quit, they will. But if they don't want to, it doesn't matter. And we're finding that to be the case. The parents want them to quit, but they don't want to.
Well, it definitely seems like what you're doing, Grace, is incredible. And yes, you're right. By the end of the interview, my mind would have been a little bit changed. But I think my mind was changed more because I feel your integrity in this, and I think it's very powerful. Are you on any book tours? Are you traveling anywhere to do book signings?
I just came back from a month in Europe. That was very exciting. And I was in New York last week, and we actually did the largest group hypnosis ever in Central Park at Ozzyfest right before Hillary Clinton went on stage. That was thrilling and amazing. And right now I'll be home more so not too many book signings on the schedule right now. But I'm going live every day on my Instagram doing group hypnosis, so there's plenty of ways for people to reach me. And I'm not sure how much time we have left, but if we have 2 or 3 minutes, I could lead everyone through a mini group hypnosis if you'd like.
Oh, okay. Yeah, please do. Lead them, not me. I have to be.
Well, I think you'll find that if you come back and listen later on, how relaxing it is. It's so wonderful. So if anyone is listening while driving, please do not participate. But other than that, what I would just ask is everyone who's listening, just let me know, or you can let Sister Jenna know later, what your starting stress level is. So 0 would be 0 stress, no stress at all, the most relaxed a person can possibly be. And 10 is a full-blown panic attack, the most stressed a person can possibly be. So, Sister Jenna, just so I know, what's your starting stress level?
On a scale from 1 to 10, I would say today it would be a 4. I have 10 guests at my house, a mother who has dementia, 3 summits, 2 suicides last month. I'm coping, but I would say it's a 4 for sure.
Okay. Yeah, I would definitely follow along if you can. There's so much on your plate right now. I think you're going to love it. And for everyone else, I'm starting at about a 4 myself, so we can see where we are by the end. So everyone can go ahead and close your eyes. Take a nice, deep, letting go breath. Already beginning to relax both mind and body. Relax the top of your head. Relax your forehead, smoothing out any creases. Relax the tiny muscles next to your eyes. Relax your jaw, letting it hang loose and flat. Relax your shoulders. Relax your arms all the way through to the fingertips. Relax your torso, breathing easily, really releasing your stomach. Then relax your legs all the way out to the bottoms of the feet. Taking another nice, deep, letting go breath, beginning to imagine a color you love forming at the top of your head. And then just say that color to yourself. As you imagine that color flowing into the top of your head, all the way through your body, out the bottoms of your feet, down into the center of the earth, and then just repeating in your mind after me, I am safe, I am calm, I choose to be here. Twice more. I am safe. I am calm. I choose to be here. I am safe. I am calm. I choose to be here. One last time, imagining that color you love flowing into the top of your head, all the way through your body, out the bottoms of your feet, down into the center of the earth. And then when you're ready, you can put a smile on your lips, opening your eyes, and noticing your new number on the scale. So that was a little mini hypnosis. And how are you feeling now?
2, 1.5.
Beautiful.
Thank you. That was delightful.
You can see how in just a few moments, being able to go from a 4 to a 2 or 1.5, or perhaps someone listening went from an 8 to a 6 or a 7 to a 3, how in just a few minutes, by using these techniques, we can relax so deeply that if we did this while, you know, the kids were screaming at the top of their lungs and we just want to relax, or before going into a big meeting, or simply to center ourselves and get more connected to the truth, that this is how we do it. And these are the type of techniques that I teach in the book. And then you can use that for whatever it is you're working on. If it's overcoming procrastination or feeling more self-confidence, you change those hypno-affirmations we use to whatever you need in the moment, and you do it from that place of deep peace.
Ideal and very timely. Grace, leave us with a website that our listeners can get a hold of you, and if you are ever in the Washington metropolitan area, I think we'll do a book signing for you at the Meditation Museum.
Oh, I would love it so very much. Thank you. I'm honored. Yes, you can find me at gshypnosis.com. And specifically to find the book, you can go to gshypnosis.com/book. And I'm absolutely certain that I'll be in D.C. at some point this year. And it would be such an honor to meet you and your community and to have that book signing. And I'll love to gift you a session anytime, Sister Jenna, to thank you for just the beautiful work that you do in the world.
Thank you, Grace. Many good wishes. Many blessings. Take care.
You as well. Thank you.
Well, I have to say, everyone, Grace did change my mind about hypnosis, but I think she changed it more because of the energy that I picked up through her. I love organic journeys and those in which it's not so premeditated, you know, that you're going to do this, you're going to make this happen. It's just her call and she's fulfilling it. And yeah, hopefully if she comes to D.C., we'll definitely have her at the museum. So I hope you went down with your numbers. I think I definitely went down to a 2 or a 1.5. You know, I'm a hard one. I am not an easy client. I'm even surprised I even started to do meditation because I'm such a person that's so, like, conceptual, just get it straight, even though I'm Pisces. And that's not supposed to be the Pisces way because Pisces people are the best and we're more intuitive and we're more like easygoing. So here's how I think we all need to begin to embrace ourselves and just love ourselves for whatever it is that we need to be. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission, and we really are here to love each other the same. So let's do that. Please join me for the Summer of Peace Finding Common Ground Network online event, August 7th to the 9th. Marla Maples, Carolyn Mace, Robert Thurman, Daryl Davis, Kalita Brohi, myself, and Philip Helmick, Director of Peace, will be hosting this incredible 3-day summit. And if you happen to be in California, September 20th to the 23rd, come on out and see us at the Sheraton Grand Hotel for the California Vision 2020. Here's Vanessa Williams, The Colors of the Wind. Take care, everyone. A stranger. I'm Sister Jenna. You've been listening to America Meditating Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Did you enjoy that conversation? Because you can also listen to it on Spotify or in iTunes, 24/7, anytime, anywhere. I do trust we all have inner power to become our very best. When we listen with curiosity to learn more, we grow. So thanks so much for tuning in, and do be easy on yourself. Take care.